Welcome back. This is reporter Shelby Herbert, and today I am hosting PMC Live, where we get a chance to talk with some folks from Petersburg's Medical Center. But today we have a special guest joining us from outside PMC. Today I'm joined by Mark Kimmerer, the landscape architect and principal for Bettesworth North, Elizabeth Hart, who is the skilled care manager and chemotherapy RN at PMC, and Katie Holmland, our the youth programs mentor over at Kinderskog. We're also joined by Julie Walker. Julie and Mark are both on Zoom with us today. Can you folks hear me all right? Oh, let me cue you back up, Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Perfectly. You are coming through great. Mark, where are you joining us from today? And did I get your last name right? Kimmerer?
You did. You did. You got it just right. I'm in the Anchorage office in Midtown Anchorage.
Fantastic. And welcome to the show, everybody. Glad everyone could make it, including our first Zoom in guests in quite a while, maybe since the pandemic. Mark, I hear you've got an update on the new building project. There's a lot of really exciting news coming out of the assembly right now with the forward progress on this new hospital Petersburg is getting. I'd love to hear more. What's new?
Well, I'll share what I can with you. We've been in a process with the Petersburg Medical Center trying to get their project moving in a direction that the public and Petersburg Medical Center is proud of and happy to support. So we've been working closely with the team up to this point. We're getting into I think schematic design soon here, or right in the getting it started right now. And we really want to, as a part of this program, let folks in Petersburg know that we will be in town next Wednesday for an all-day open house. So that's May 10th, Wednesday, from 11 to 5 at the Holy Cross House, the Petersburg Lutheran Church. It's going to be a really nice informal setting where community members will have ample opportunity to look at our draft plans, provide feedback, and ask any questions they have about the design and the process. There'll be three folks from Bettesworth North there, myself and a couple of our architects that have been involved. And we will have visuals along, and they will be able to communicate, the site location, how we're thinking the building will be placed on the site, and then some interior space planning components to share as well. We'd really like folks to come out and share their thoughts. There'll be several informal presentations during that 8-hour span, probably early-ish 11:30 or so, and around 5, and we may have another one depending on how busy things get.
Exciting stuff, Mark. That is fantastic. Folks at home, don't forget about that open house event on May 8th, you said?
May 10th.
May 10th, that's right, next Wednesday. Oh my goodness. I haven't had my coffee yet. That's thank you for that clarification. Excellent. We're also joined by Julie Suver. How's it going, Julie?
It's going well.
Great.
Thank you.
Julie is my other Zoom guest today. Julie, where are you calling in from?
I'm also in Anchorage. I work at Bettesworth North with Mark, and been lucky enough to work on this project since about November.
Fantastic. Right. You're the our project manager and architect for this project. Is that right?
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yep, I am. So to date, we've been really working on getting to know the Petersburg Medical Center staff and looking at the site. I've spent, feels like This has been the first week I think I've been back in Anchorage. It feels like I spent a couple of weeks down in Petersburg, including a extended stay when the volcano erupted and the flights got canceled.
Ooh,
So
it was a
really, really
wild
got to know
day.
Petersburg and spend some good quality time there. But meeting with the staff, talking about the things that are important to them and what they feel are important to the community for this new building. So those are the things we're really focusing on in the design. And I think Mark mentioned the open house. It's a great opportunity for us to share these things that the staff have mentioned, but also to get some feedback from the community on what's important to them as we're designing the new building. So a couple of things just to throw out there that we are doing in this new building is we have heard over and over again that privacy is important. Really want to mention that private rooms are one of the things that are just a that's the way it's going to be in the new building. New regulations and rules in healthcare push us that direction, but it also feels like the right thing to do. We're looking at other ways of just improving patient care, looking at physical therapy and providing them a better dedicated gym space for providing those treatment for all their patients. Also looking at ways of maybe getting outdoors for some physical therapy because the environment in Petersburg is just so amenable to being outdoors so much. So we're also looking at making sure the building is accessible to all. So wheelchairs, walkers, people who might have sight issues, looking at ways that this building will be responsive to their needs as well. So all of those things are important and just a few of the things we're thinking about, but we are looking forward to getting more input from the community on what's important to them.
That's exciting. Thank you for highlighting those features. Are there any facilities that you'd like to highlight that might be added or expanded from the original the
The
original
original building.
hospital?
So yeah, so this will be an all new building located up off of Hagen site or Hagen Road. We are looking at trying to make this building really the right size and use the spaces that are there that we're designing to be very efficient and flexible for the building and the community and the services to grow as they need to. Healthcare is a constantly changing kind of sector of the world where there's always different ways and different technologies, different things that come about in our ability to treat patients. And so this building that we'll be designing is really, we're looking at ways for that to happen without massive expensive additions and changes in the future. So that is another kind of element we're putting into it, that flexibility and that efficiency for the future, because buildings are meant to last for 40 to 50 years. And that seems like a short time, but it's also a really long time with a lot of changes that can happen. So.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Julie. Just a reminder for everybody back home, that is the community open house event is on May 10th on Wednesday at the Holy Cross House of the Lutheran Church. And you can show up and give feedback. It sounds like that is exciting stuff. Awesome. So we're going to do a hard pivot over here. Speaking of expansions, Katie Holmland is with us today, and PMC just announced a huge expansion of several youth programs, including Kinderskog and some summer camps. What's going on with that, Katie?
Well, we received approval from the State of Alaska Child Care Program Office to become a legally exempt from child care licensing youth recreational program. So, with that means that we can kind of set the parameters of our program now, which, in the easiest sense of the word, means we can double our capacity. We have an awesome staff lined up for the summer. We're in the process of, we've already hired two. Looking for one more part-time mentor as well. If anyone's interested, go to the PMC website, check it out. You have to be 15 years old and enjoy working with really awesome kids and being outside. But we have some really exciting things lined up for the summer and hoping to serve a lot more kids this year.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I went to a couple childcare task force meetings, and I'm aware that's definitely an issue that the community is concerned about, just this availability of childcare here. Let me see here. So I'm sure a lot of people will be excited to know that there are more seats available. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about tuition? What does the picture look like for that?
Well, I think most people who know me know I'm really passionate about trying to keep our programs affordable and accessible to as many people as possible. Unfortunately, with the shift away from being a licensed program, it also means that our families won't be able to utilize state child care assistance, potentially won't be able to utilize Tlingit and Haida child care assistance. So what we've done this spring is we're fundraising really hard right now. Big thanks to the Elks. They hosted a wonderful evening for us last night, and we were able to kind of start building up a scholarship fund to help support those families. We are also looking for organizations or individuals who might be interested in sponsoring our program, and those sponsorship funds will go towards our scholarship fund, along with some of our initiatives like our SCOG Plus STEM initiative, which is connecting youth to different local experts in STEM-related fields. And then our program growth and expansion, because we're also adding another program this summer, Forest Kindergarten. And with that comes startup costs, of course. So
certainly. Tell me about Forest Kindy. Ooh.
I'm really excited about it. So this will serve our 5 and 6-year-olds Monday through Thursday from 1:30 until 4 o'clock. And it's still going to be very nature-based, but it's going to be a content standards-driven curriculum. So I've been building this curriculum for the last few weeks. It's been super fun. I really miss curriculum design. So it's all based on our local environment, which is really cool, but tied into our state of Alaska literacy standards, English language arts standards, as well as math and science standards.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So one thing you mentioned a couple minutes ago, so there have been a couple changes with just how your program is licensed. This was previously licensed as a child care program, and now it's licensed differently. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what this means for the service you're going to provide and just sources of funding?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Kinderskog doesn't really fit the mold of traditional child care. So a lot of the child care policies and regulations we were following didn't really apply to our program. And so we were already building our own policies to put into place to help keep kids as safe as necessary while outside. There's not many programs that do it. So moving to a legally exempt recreational program allows us to develop or structure the program in a way that best serves our community, as well as enriching the lives of a whole bunch of kids, which is really cool. There are changes. Obviously, it's going to change how families can access assistance. And we've also, our advisory committee has appointed a safety officer to provide guidance on best practices. But if there's any community members or potentially interested families, we are also hosting an open house kind of night on Monday, May 8th at 5:30 in the SCOG Den, which is at Stedman Elementary, to kind of talk about how we're structuring our programs this year, a staff introduction as well, and then how some of these transitioning to a legally exempt program will impact families, which I think for the most part will be really positive because, yeah, we have a lot of kids on our wait list and it's been nice to start filling spots.
Certainly. Is summer generally a pretty busy season for you guys with the kids out of school?
Oh, yes. Very much so. We typically serve about 100 different kids throughout our different youth programs, and I would expect to serve maybe 150 this summer.
Oh, dear. So great timing. Mm-hmm. Fantastic timing. All right, Katie, thank you so much for
thank
that
you.
Breakdown. Just another reminder for the folks back home, there is another opportunity to visit and give comments and feedback at the SCOG Den on Monday, May 8th, this coming Monday. So So
that's right.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. See you there. Thank you so much, Katie. And we have our final guest here, Elizabeth Hart. Welcome. Welcome. Elizabeth is the skilled care manager and chemotherapy RN over at PMC. Let's see here. And it looks like there's some new facilities there or some new programs. Elizabeth, what's happening over at your
My name's Elizabeth Hart, and I'm the skilled care manager at Petersburg Medical Center. I just wanted to explain a little bit about skilled care. It's a sort of a real specialized specific program that is covered by Medicare. And skilled care is provided when a patient qualifies for a longer stay in a facility while recovering from an acute illness, an infection, a wound, or broken bone, just some of the qualifying diagnosis. Skilled care is a medical stay covered by Medicare for up to 100 days if a patient has a treatable or resolvable medical condition. They are no longer considered acutely ill and must have had a recent 3-day hospital stay for that same diagnosis. Our skilled facility is unique in that our skilled care beds are provided in the hospital, and most nationwide, when you hear about skilled care, it would be a skilled nursing facility in a long-term care setting. So having this access in the hospital bed means that our skilled care facility is funded or is staffed 100% by RNs. It's our same RNs that would be providing acute care, emergency care, ICU care, that do the acute care. And that means we can expand easily our skilled services to the covered services of like IV therapy for, say, an extended infection that would require long-term IV antibiotics. So we have more options to easily provide the covered skilled care with the fact that we have registered nurses 24/7. The types of skilled patients that we most frequently see include patients needing rehab services, recovery from acute illness such as pneumonia, which could include needing IV antibiotic therapy and rehab services, long-term IV antibiotic therapy, and an acute infection would require that, such as a cardiac infection or pneumonia again, or an infected wound. That type of patient would require a different IV line, typically inserted somewhere else, and then they would come to stay in our hospital right. for 6 weeks of therapy.
6 weeks, my goodness.
Some of those bad infections.
That's why, insurance is so important. I mean, that's,
yeah, and it's a really
like remortgage your house expensive. My goodness,
it's a unique and really amazing service provided by Medicare and some acute or some private insurances as well. So our rehab department works closely with skilled patients to restore previous levels of function for patients with broken bones, neurological events such as a stroke, or deconditioning after extended illness. So if you're in a hospital bed for a week or two, it's amazing how quickly, you know, the elderly and frail anybody really gets really weak and aren't able to function at their previous level.
Certainly.
The goal of skilled care is to return home with family or independently. And while a benefit period is up to 100 days, this length of stay is uncommon. I think the most lengthy stay would be for someone recovering from a stroke or a really bad infection, and that can be up to 30 days, really. The length of stay is determined by the continuing medical need. We have a team meeting with rehab, doctor, nursing every week to determine how close are we to our goals to return home, and how long do we foresee them, you know, how it taking to get there.
Certainly.
Our skilled patients' average stay is about 10 days, and most skilled goals are met within like the first month.
So not that 6 week.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, occasionally we have 4 to 6 weeks, but 100 days, we rarely have someone stay for 3 months.
Oh
in
my
skilled
goodness.
Care. I network personally with hospitals in Southeast. Bartlett is probably my biggest cohort in that, and they'll. Because they don't have skilled beds at Bartlett, so they'll send patients here. Or we recently had a patient from ANMC in Providence, Anchorage. And throughout Southeast, where our rehab department is highly regarded, so people who have been here before will recommend us through word of mouth to their friends in Juneau. And
that's wonderful. That's
our rehab department. We're fully staffed with occupational therapy, physical therapy, I think 3 full-time physical therapies and speech therapy. So they do amazing things.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that's so closely available to us. I know a lot of people have to travel out of state, off island to get certain treatments, and I'm glad that that's here. Oh my goodness, I heard something about a swing bed program. You
that
guys
is
have...
the skilled our skilled program.
Oh, wonderful.
It's in a swing bed, and swing bed refers to hospital beds.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's not a piece of equipment. I was picturing some kind of therapeutic device, but it's actually just
the term swing refers to that we can swing our acute care hospital beds over to a skilled care status and actually to a long-term care status if we have overflow from long-term care.
I see. That sounds a little bit less fun than what I was picturing, but still wonderful that you all have that. That is fantastic.
Maybe in the new PT gym.
Maybe. Maybe. Any comments from our architects here? Oh gosh, get us the swing beds. That's wonderful, Elizabeth. Any final thoughts on future programs or?
Well, my other job, I have 3 distinct jobs, and I was going to talk about 2 of them today. Is I'm the lead chemotherapy RN, and we've been doing chemotherapy at PMC for decades, long before I started working there, and it's a service most people don't necessarily know about till they need it or their loved one needs it, and really super important. We follow our patients really closely. We're just a little hospital without a pharmacist, so we're actually the experts on the chemotherapy meds as well. We work with oncology, and they're providing physician here, but we're mixing the meds, so we're really deep diving into the meds and learning about all the side effects and frequently communicating with our patients. We also have patients coming from Wrangell and other community neighbors in Southeast because some of the other, it's getting more difficult to be certified in chemotherapy as far as the space provided. And during COVID, PMC sanctioned a new hazmat hood basically that was up to code. To be built, and that was a big project that started in 2020, finished in 2022,
oh
I think. But
because those are the most vulnerable people to
our patients love getting, they'll typically go see an oncologist somewhere else, set up care, either in Juneau or Seattle, and then that oncologist will work with their ordering provider here, their primary care physician, and us to get that med they need. Elise Kubo's our pharmacy RN, and she'll order it, and we give it typically, there's weekly, bi-weekly, or the most common is every 3-week regimen, and some people be on it for years, like I'll see them every 2 weeks for 2 years.
That's fantastic. That is, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that we have that service here.
Yeah, it's really amazing that, because typically when you get chemotherapy, you're not feeling that great. You can just go home to your own bed and
exactly,
Have your
not have to
family
be in
make
an unfamiliar
you,
place.
Yeah.
Familiar
food and all of it. So it's, our patients are really relieved when they find that out.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Thank you for everything you do. That is wonderful. Well, Thank you all so much for joining me today. Very exciting news from all of these different departments and just contracting services. Really appreciate your time. And thank you at home for joining us for PMC Live today. Again, this program is held every first Thursday at 12:30 p.m. We also have two open house events coming up. The first for the PMC building project, which is again on the 10th of May, Wednesday at the Lutheran Church. And then the second, or before that, is the Kinderskog open house event on Monday, May 8th. At the Skog Den. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks.